Jesus Christ humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God also highly exalted him and gave him a name that is above every name. Not yet. Huh? No, you're good. A reading from the Gospel of Mark. When they were approaching Jerusalem at Bethpage and Bethany near the Mount of Olives, he sent two disciples and said to them, "Go into the village ahead of you, and immediately as you enter it, you will find tied there a colt that has never been ridden. Untie it and bring it to me. If anyone says to you, 'Why are you doing this?' just say this, 'The Lord needs it, and will send it back here immediately.' They went away and found a colt tied near a door outside the street. As they were untying it, some of the bystanders said to them, 'What are you doing, untying the colt?' They told them what Jesus had said, and they allowed them to take it. Then they brought the colt to Jesus and threw their cloaks on it, and he sat on it. Many people spread their cloaks on the road, and others spread leafy branches that they had cut in the fields. Then those who went ahead and those who followed were shouting, 'Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our ancestor David. Hosanna in the highest.' Then he entered Jerusalem and went into the temple, and when he had looked around at everything, as it was already late, he went out to Bethany with the 12. This is the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Thank you.
Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Let us confess our sins in the presence of God and of one another. Most merciful God, we confess that we are captive to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen. In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for us, and for his sake forgives us all our sins. As a called and ordained minister of the Church of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore declare to you the entire forgiveness of all your sins, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Let us pray. Everlasting God, in your endless love for the human race, you sent our Lord Jesus Christ to take on our nature and to suffer death on the cross. In your mercy, enable us to share in his obedience to your will and in the glorious victory of his resurrection, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
First reading is from Isaiah, the 50th chapter. The Lord God has given me the tongue of a teacher, that I may know how to sustain the weary with a word. Morning by morning he wakens my ear to listen to those who are taught. The Lord God has opened my ear, and I was not rebellious. I did not turn backward. I gave my back to those who struck me, and my cheeks to those who pulled out the beard. I did not hide my face from insult and spitting. The Lord God helps me. Therefore, I have not been disgraced. Therefore, I have set my face like flint, and I know that I shall not be put to shame. He who vindicates me is near. Who will contend with me? Let us stand together. Who are my adversaries? Let them confront me. It is the Lord God who helps me. Who will declare me guilty? All of them will wear out like a garment. The moth will eat them up. The word of the Lord. Please read Psalm 31 responsively with me. Be gracious to me, O Lord, for I am in distress. My eye wastes away from grief, my soul and body also. I am the scorn of all my adversaries, a horror to my neighbors, an object of dread to my acquaintances. Those who see me in the street flee from me. For I hear the whispering of many, terror all around, as they scheme together against me, as they plot to take my life.
But I trust in you, O Lord. I say, you are my God.
My times are in your hand. Deliver me from the hand of mine enemies and persecutors.
Let your face shine upon your servant. Save me in your steadfast love.
The second reading is from Philippians, the second chapter. Let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as something to be exploited, but emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, being born in human likeness. And being found in human form, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God also highly exalted him and gave him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bend in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Holy Gospel according to Mark, the 15th chapter.
Glory to you, O Christ.
As soon as it was morning, the chief priests held a consultation with the elders and the scribes and the whole council. They bound Jesus, led him away, and handed him over to Pilate. Pilate asked him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" He answered, "You say so." Then the chief priests accused him of many things. Pilate asked him again, "Have you no answer? See how many charges they bring against you." But Jesus made no further reply, so that Pilate was amazed. At that festival, he used to release a prisoner for them, anyone for whom they asked. Now a man called Barabbas was in prison with the other rebels who had committed murder during an insurrection. So the crowd came and began to ask Pilate to do for them according to his custom. Then he answered them, "Do you want me to release for you the king of the Jews?" For he realized that it was out of jealousy that the chief priests had handed him over. But the chief priests stirred up the crowd to have him release Barabbas for them instead. Pilate spoke to them again, "Then what do you wish me to do with the man called the King of the Jews?" Pilate asked them, Hold on. Well, you tell me. They shouted what?
Crucify.
All right, I like this. We're going to make you do it again. Lost my place. What verse? 13? All right. 14. Pilate asked him, "Why? What evil has they done? But has he done?" But they shouted all the more,
"Crucify him!"
Great job. So Pilate, wishing to satisfy the crowd, released Barabbas for them. And after flogging Jesus, he handed him over to be crucified. Then the soldiers led him into the courtyard of the palace that is the governor's headquarters. And they called together the whole cohort. And they clothed him in a purple cloak, and after twisting some thorns into a crown, they put it on him, and they began saluting him, "Hail, the King of the Jews!" They struck his head with a reed, spat upon him, and knelt down in homage to him. After mocking him, they stripped him of the purple cloak and put his own clothes on him. Then they led him out to crucify him. They compelled a passerby who was coming in from the country to carry his cross. It was Simon of Cyrene, the father of Alexander and Rufus. Then they brought Jesus to the place called Golgotha, which means the place of the skull. And they offered him wine mixed with myrrh, but he did not take it. And they crucified him and divided his clothes among them, casting lots to decide what each should take. It was 9 o'clock in the morning when they crucified him. The inscription of the charge against him read, "The King of the Jews." And with him they crucified two bandits, one on his right and one on his left. Those who passed by derided him, shaking their heads, saying, "Aha, you who could destroy the temple and build it 3 days, save yourself and come down from this cross." In the same way, the chief priests, along with the scribes, were also mocking him among themselves, saying, "He saved others. He cannot save himself. Let the Messiah, the King of Israel, come down from the cross now, so that we may see and believe." Those who were crucified with him also taunted him. When it was noon, darkness came over the whole land until 3 p.m. At 3 o'clock, Jesus cried out in a loud voice, "Eloi, Eloi, lema sabachthani," which means, my God, why have you forsaken me?" When some of the bystanders heard it, they said, "Listen, he is calling for Elijah." Someone ran and filled a sponge with sour wine, put it on a stick, and gave it to him to drink, saying, "Wait, let's see whether Elijah will come to take him down." Then Jesus gave a loud cry and breathed his last. And the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. Now when the centurion who stood facing him saw that it in this way he breathed his last, he said, "Truly, this man was the Son of God." This is the gospel of our Lord. All right, kids, team huddle. Huddle. We're not doing the water thing. They got all mad at me last time. They're like, "Oh, I don't like water." Apparently none of them shower. Besides, we'll do that next Sunday. All right. Hold it. All right. You take these. Do you want any? You take these. Someone grab that. All right. So we're going to huddle. Come over here. We're not going to tell them what we're doing. Thank you. 2, 3. Hosanna in the highest heaven! Right. Do we have your attention? You guys can sit down or pick them up, however you want to do it. Do I have your attention?
Yes, sir.
Okay. When we encounter Jesus today, as he is riding into Jerusalem, he is done being subtle. He's done ordering his disciples to keep his identity secret. He is there to grab attention. He is ready to fulfill the prophecy from Zechariah, who says, "Rejoice greatly, O daughter Zion. Shout aloud, O daughter Jerusalem. Lo, your king comes to you. Triumphant and victorious is he, humble and riding on a donkey." "Go get me a colt and bring it to me," instructs Jesus. He fulfills the prophecy by riding it into Jerusalem, allowing branches to be waved and cloaks to be spread on the road. The reception of a king is most certainly given. Not only did Jesus allow those sweet hosannas to ring, he provoked them by fulfilling Zechariah's prophecy. Jesus had everyone's attention. All eyes were on him. So it should come as no surprise then, now that he had gotten the attention of all that he wanted, that he would be crucified by the end of the week. Jesus came to Jerusalem, in fact, to fulfill the prophecies and to provoke. No more, "Don't tell anyone I'm not the Messiah, that I'm the Messiah," because his time had come. And by fulfilling Zechariah's prophecy, Jesus was there to claim the throne. "Hosanna, save us, we pray." Right? That's the shout. Hosanna. And Hosanna means save us, we pray. I wonder how that sounded to the Roman authorities that likely stood nearby. I wonder how that sounded to the Jewish leaders who had cozied up to those Roman authorities, hoping to gain maybe some amount of power. "Hosanna, save us, we pray. Save us, Jesus, from these false rulers." Those who lined the road saw Jesus as a fulfillment of the scriptures. The one who had come to save, the one who had come to drive out and overthrow. Make no mistake, Jesus was there to fulfill and to provoke. Provoke how? Jesus had a pretty busy week that week. I know it seemed like a short amount of time. We process into all glory, laud, and honor, and all of a sudden I'm killing him up here reading that gospel. But there was a lot that happened in between. Jesus entered the temple and began to drive out those who were selling and those who were buying in the temple, and he overturned the tables. He just flipped them, right? He overturned the tables of the money changers and the seats of those who sold doves. And the chief priests and the scribes, they were happy about that? No. They were angry and they wanted to kill him, but so far, Jesus still had the favor of the crowd. So the next day, they tried to trick Jesus into giving a supposed blasphemous answer. The question, by whose authority are you doing these things? So he asked his own question, by whose authority did John the Baptist baptize? And they're like, "We ain't touching that one." He refused to answer. They refused to answer. More provocation. He went on to tell a parable then of a vineyard owner and its evil tenants. You see, the evil tenants killed two of the owner's slaves who were sent to collect. So the owner sends his son, thinking, surely they won't kill my son. And as we know, the son is killed. And these leaders, who usually don't understand the parables, this one they understand. "Wait, are you calling us the wicked tenants? How dare you?" This is another. This is another of Jesus' passion predictions, but this time he says it directly to those who are orchestrating his passion. Make no mistake, Jesus wants to provoke. There's another trick question about taxes. Jesus thwarts it. And then a question from the Sadducees about the resurrection, to which Jesus declares, ours is not a God of the dead, but a God of the living. And in case they, by the way, they didn't like that answer, but he added another one. He added something else to the end. You are quite wrong. Anybody here like being told they're wrong? My daughter does.
Wait, no, I don't.
That is more provocation. What is the greatest commandment, teacher? Well, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. And the second is this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these. And at first, this doesn't seem to be too provocative, does it? Except, you know, as Jesus is walking away, you start to think, wait, what does he mean by neighbor? By neighbor, does he mean, like, everyone? Like, even this guy back here that I kind of hate, and he kind of hates me? Like, I'm supposed to... Notice I looked back that way and not at you when I said that. I'm supposed to love the guy that I hate? Yep, him too, says Jesus as he continues. Really, kids? As in everyone. More provocation. So how's this for provoking? Jesus says, beware the scribes who like to walk around in long robes. Oops. Beware the ones who like to be greeted with respect in the marketplaces and have the best seats in the synagogue. Actually, the best seats in the back. You guys know that. Have the best seats in the synagogues and places of honor at banquets. They devour widows' houses for the sake of appearance. They say, oh man, long prayers. Ooh. They will receive greater condemnation. Long robe, check. Best seat,
check.
Long prayers, definitely check. Now Jesus is provoking me. And then he tells them that their temple will fall. Stone and stone and stone will fall to the ground, and not one stone will be left upon another. All will be thrown down. Jesus came to fulfill and to provoke. And all of this, all of it, it happened after that triumphant ride into Jerusalem. He provoked and provoked and provoked. And these rulers, they feared the crowds. So they said, we need to get Jesus alone. And guess what? All it took was 30 pieces of silk. Jesus was brought before the high council, and many testified against him there until the high priest finally asked, have you no answer? And Jesus, this time, says nothing, which doesn't seem like a provocation, except in not answering and staying silent, he is fulfilling yet another prophecy. He is provoking yet again. From the prophet Isaiah, he was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth, like a lamb that is led to the slaughter and like a sheep that is silent before its shearers. So he did not open his mouth. Jesus was there to fulfill and to provoke. Are you the Messiah? Asked the high priest, the son of the blessed one. And now, finally, Jesus opens his mouth and he says, I am. Now. Anyone who knows Exodus knows that this is not a simple yes to that question. When Moses asked God, when I go to the Israelites and say to them, the God of your ancestors sent me to you, they will ask, what is your name? What is your name, God? And God said, I am who I am. The one who is called I Am sent me to you to fulfill and to provoke. Jesus is giving himself the name of God. And he continues, you will see the Son of Man seated at the right hand of power and coming with the clouds of heaven. So after giving himself God's name, he says that he is a fulfillment of one of Daniel's prophecies, because that was one of Daniel's prophecies. The council, the high priest, they would have known this, and Jesus is sitting right there at their mercy, and he is provoking them because he has come to fulfill these prophecies. And at this point, Jesus is beaten and spit on and mocked and humiliated, and the council then they handed him over to Pilate, and they said, Pilate, do what we cannot do. To those gathered there before Pilate, some of whom very likely had waved those palms and thrown their cloaks onto the road and gave him this kingly welcome. Pilate asked, do you want me to give your king back? I'll do it. But who wants a beaten, spit on, mocked, and humiliated king? This is not the king that they were looking for. This is not the king they thought they had when Jesus was riding into Jerusalem a few days before. They wanted the king who would destroy the Romans and all who colluded with them. They didn't want the one who rides on a humble colt. They wanted the king who rides on a war horse. Give us Barabbas! That is their cry. Barabbas, you see, he was a known insurrectionist. Insurrection against who? The Romans. That is who these people wanted to defeat. Maybe he will get the gang back together. Maybe he will finish the job and overthrow the Romans this time. Maybe he will be our Messiah. But thank God, literally, that we're not like them. We're not. Because we choose Jesus of Nazareth every time and never Barabbas. Because Jesus is our Messiah. We have all accepted Jesus as our personal Lord and Savior, right? Yeah. Wrong answer. Yeah. Wrong answer, buddy. I have some very bad news if you think you can accept Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior. You can't do it. I can't do it. None of us can't do it, because every single time we choose Barabbas. Every single day. Every single time. Love the Lord your God and love your neighbor as yourself. We can't do it. Humanity, us, we, me and you, over and over and over again, we cannot love our neighbors, and each and every time we fail, we claim the ways of this world and we say, give us Barabbas. And we condemn to death the one who rode into Jerusalem to fulfill and to provoke, Jesus Christ, who is the Messiah. We don't choose Jesus. We can't choose Jesus. We choose Barabbas. But guess what? God chose Jesus for us. And that is the ultimate good news of today. That is the ultimate good news of this week. That is the ultimate good news of our lives. Because it is only through the work of the Holy Spirit that we are able to come to Jesus Christ. And it is this same Holy Spirit that calls us not to sit idly by and rest in our salvation, because Jesus and the Holy Spirit provoke us that we too might provoke. Now, this word provoke, anybody counted like 900 times have I said it today? It has very negative connotation. As in, like, I provoke you into fighting with me. But for Jesus, his provocation, it was not to physical violence. He was provoking his followers, his disciples, you and me and all of us to love. To love our neighbor, yes, even the neighbor that we don't like, even our enemies. He was provoking us to answer hate, not with more hate, but with love. But that wasn't the way of Jesus' world, was it? It got him mocked and beaten and spit on and handed over to be crucified. But good thing our world has gotten so much better since then, right? So obviously, it's not the way of our world either. So are you and I, are we willing to be mocked and beaten and spit on and crucified in the name of this same radical kind of love that we extend even to those who mock and beat and spit on and crucify us? This is dangerous work, impossible work, but we have been called. And the only way we can do it is by being freed by Christ's death and resurrection. To live into this provocative and dangerous love. In the face of hatred and anger and injustice and bigotry, we are called and freed to continue Jesus' provocative work to bring his kingdom and God's preferred future to the here and now today. And provoke is the right word, because when you answer hate with love, trust me, it is provocative. So, the spirit of being a bit provocative today, where is it that we see, that you see, injustice prevail? Who is being held hostage or incarcerated unjustly? Are there areas of the world that are on the brink of man-made famine, where innocent women and children and civilians are near starvation as we speak? Are there places where blood is being spilled in exchange for land? Yes. These are enormous problems. I'm not a statesman. I'm a humble pastor, sometimes humble, but I am a pastor in a small church in Galleon, Ohio. I can't fix these problems. These problems are too big for me individually and probably us as a congregation, but there's something we can do, I think, right? We can speak up in the name of injustice. But if we don't feel comfortable with that, let's narrow the scope. In our churches and in this church, in our broader collection of, let's say, Lutheran churches in this area, are there times when we answer hate with hate? Guilty. That anger builds upon anger. Guilty. That we initiate or perpetuate hatred, injustice, and bigotry instead of provoking love, mercy, and justice. And I have to admit that me personally, my answer all too often is, give me Barabbas. So I ask, you're not going to be able to answer this right now today, but I ask you to take this question with you. How might we instead answer anger and hatred with love? So the good news today, Jesus came to fulfill and to provoke, and he was successful. And that is tremendously good news. There's some sort of good news that goes along with it. We, because of his success, are called to provoke love and justice and mercy and peace. But the bad news is that that might lead to hair pulling, which isn't bad news for me, but it might lead to hair pulling and spitting and insults and even a crucifixion of your character, of your person, of your being. But there's some really good news that we hear from the prophet Isaiah today. The Lord God helps me. Therefore, I have not been disgraced. Therefore, I have set my face like flint. And I know that I shall not be put to shame, that he who vindicates me is near. Jesus Christ is the great vindicator. Who are my adversaries? Let them confront me. It is the Lord God who helps me. Who will declare me guilty? Jesus Christ has freed us. And through that freedom, we are invited by Jesus Christ, called by Jesus Christ to provoke love and justice and mercy and peace. To which I say, thanks be to God, and to which I quickly add, what are we waiting for? Amen.
I ask you to join me in professing what we believe using the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God,
the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended.
As we prepare to pray together for the church and the world, I ask, do you have any additional prayers to add today?
Hilda?
Trusting in God's promise to reconcile all things, let us pray for the church, the well-being of creation, and a world in need.
Blessed One, today the church sings glad hosannas as we enter Holy Week. Prepare us to bear witness to Christ's suffering and death endured for our sake. Sustain us this week, not just this week, but all times when we endure pain and suffering in this life and on behalf of Jesus Christ. Give us the strength to sit with others in their times of trial, peace in knowing that Jesus sits with us at the foot of the cross, and hope in knowing that one who rode triumphant into Jerusalem won victory over sin and death. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great. Establish peace and justice among the nations, especially the innocents that are suffering because of the war between Hamas and Israel. As parts of Gaza are on the brink of famine, renew peace talks so that food, medicine, and supplies for civilians may flow in and hostages may flow out. Guide the work of negotiators and relief organizations that peace and security may be achieved. We continue to pray for Ukraine and Russia that no more blood be shed. We also raise to you the people of Russia who are impacted by the terrorist attack, that they may feel your comfort. Grant hope to the hopeless and peace to those who have never known it. Hear us, O God.
As winter turns to spring, renew your good creation and protect the balance of life on earth. Encourage the work of foresters, scientists, farmers, gardeners, and river keepers that they steward the creation you called very good. We pray for the health of pollinating insects, songbirds, and native plants. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great. Bring hope to any who feel forsaken or forgotten. Make a way for refugees and asylum seekers. Reunite families during enduring separation. We pray for any who are incarcerated, in foster care, institutionalized, captive to their own bodies, those who are homebound and in the hospital, that they may know your love. Relieve all who live with chronic illness, suffering, and pain, and those experiencing grief, especially the family and friends of Ken Swain. George Bowden, Holly, Ken, Robert, Jake, Tony, David, Ed, Marcella, Pastor Tim, Peggy, Sally, Bobby, Nancy, Caleb, Jim, Karen, Sandy, Bill, Linda, Wilma, Hilda, Paul, Connie, and for those we name either aloud or in the silence of our hearts. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Give energy and joy to pastors, deacons, worship leaders, musicians, administrative assistants, and all who prepare and participate in worship. Bless baptismal candidates, their sponsors, confirmants, and their teachers. Watch over those who travel. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Accompany us on our journey, God of grace, and receive the prayers of our hearts through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Amen. The peace of Christ be with you always.
And also with you.
Please share a sign of God's peace with one another. Thank you.
Let us pray. Jesus, you are the bread of life and the host of this meal. Bless these gifts that have gathered, that all people may know your goodness. Feed us not only with this holy food, but with hunger for justice and peace. We pray this in your name.
Amen. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior, Jesus Christ, whose suffering and death gave salvation to all. You gather your people around the tree of the cross, transforming death into life. And so with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn, saying, Holy, 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 holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me. Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, This cup is the new covenant in my blood shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me. Gathered into one by the Holy Spirit, let us pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. The one who gave his life for all gives his body and blood for this meal. Come, eat and drink and be sustained for the days ahead.
This is the body of Christ broken for you.
Amen.
This is the body of Christ broken for you.
Amen.
Thank you.
And now may the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace. Amen.
Let us pray. Generous God, at this table we have tasted your immeasurable grace. As grains of wheat are gathered into one bread, now make us one loaf to feed the world. In the name of Jesus, the bread of life.
Welcome to Holy Week. With that, there is a Maundy Thursday service at 7 p.m. here. Wear flip-flops because I will be washing your feet. All of your dirty, disgusting, you don't have to do it, but we will be offering feet washing. I encourage it, but I don't require it. We will have a Good Friday service here on Friday. You know, it's kind of in the name. At 7 p.m. at First Lutheran. Again, these are joint services with us and our Lutheran partnership brethren and sisterin, I don't know, our siblings in Christ from, I just made up a word, from St. Paul Lutheran. So invite you all here to participate in Holy Week. This is a very, very meaningful week when we carry it all the way through. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord's face shine upon you with grace and mercy. May the Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, be with you now and forever. Amen. Christ humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross.
Therefore, God also highly exalted him and gave him a name that is above every name. So go in peace and proclaim the power of Jesus' name.